So tonight's shiur will be an introduction, Yirtzeh Hashem, to Perek Ketzad Mevarchim, and the Daf Yomi that coming very close to Ketzad Mevarchim. So we'll have a little head start ahead of them, which is good. So the Perek begins on Daf Lamed Hey. Now, the entire first section here, Lamed Hey and Aleph, is dedicated to answer the question, Minani Milu, which means, what's the source for Birchas HaNenim? A person enjoys eating something, he has to make a bracha. What is that based on? And basically, if you see all the thin lines here in the Gemara, up until sort of almost the end of the Amud, which is up until the two dots, which is about five lines up from the bottom, this whole Gemara here is all about a pasuk called Kodesh Ilulim Hashem. Now, where is this pasuk, Kodesh Ilulim Hashem? This pasuk is in Parshas Kiddoshim, and there the Torah is talking about something called Netaravai. Netaravai means the fourth year of since the planting of the tree. The first 3 years it's Arla, and the fourth year it's Netaravai. And the Torah uses a plural form, Hilulim. Hilulim means to be mahalel, to thank Hashem, to praise God, but why the plural? It should have said hilul. Why hilulim? And what are these two hilulim? We don't know exactly. You know, in the case of Bikurim, for example, the Torah says bring the Bikurim, and yet you recite a whole parasha mikra Bikurim with halel and thanks. But in the case of Netar Avai, I mean, he just has to eat them in Yerushalayim. So what's hilulim? And the Gemara wants to suggest that this is a ribui to teach me bracha lifneim u'bracha lachreim. So far, so good. Stop me if I go too far. Okay, fast. The Gemara rejects this because the Gemara thinks that perhaps Ravai could not serve as the That's what we call the Malame, to teach us brachos, because Netar Avai has a certain kedusha to it, and maybe only something where you fulfill a mitzvah and it has kedusha, you bring it to Yerushalayim, eat it in Yerushalayim, then you have to make a bracha. At the end of the day, Tana Rabbanan, let's go even one line before the two dots. Elasvarahu. Asulo li Adam Shiahenam in Olam Azebelo Bracha. Is that familiar to you? Mm-hmm. No? So let me explain it just on a basic level, because that's going to be the essay that we want to study tonight. A person is not allowed to enjoy this world without making a bracha. And the Gemara is going to derive this from a pasuk. You'll see this two lines up before the end of the Omer, Lashem Aretz Umeloah. The Gemara is going to ask, it says Lashem Aretz Umeloah, everything in the land and the universe belongs to God. But then it says Hashemayim Shemayim Lashem V'aretz Nasam Levnei Adam, which means that everything here was given to man. Lokasha, kan kodem bracha, and kan liacha bracha. So before the bracha, it's Lashem Aretz Meloah, it belongs to God. And after the bracha, it's La'aretz Nasan Livnei Adam. So Tana Rabbanan, Asur lo li'odem shi'ahena min ha'olam hazeh b'lo bracha, v'chol anenem min ha'olam hazeh b'lo bracha ma'al. So who can tell me what Me'ilah is?
When you use property that has been dedicated to the Beis Hamikdash.
Excellent. So you have something that's Hegdesh, and now somebody misappropriates Hegdesh, he uses it for his own purposes, he's Chayav Me'ila, he has to pay a Karen V'chomesh, he has to bring a Korban Me'ila.
Like Acham, right? Or not?
Say it again?
Acham, is it? Or not?
No, that was a chirim. Maybe it has some similarity, I don't know. But the Gemara says that if you were to be nenem in Olam Hazeh without a bracha, then you're stealing from Hegdesh. Why? Because everything is Hegdesh. How do we know everything is Hegdesh? Because the Torah says Lashem Ha'aretzim Olam. Lashem Aretzim Olam. So everything belongs to Hashem, and that makes it Hegdesh. So if you're Nenim in Olam Hazeh, then you violate this Isur Me'ila if you don't make a bracha. So the Gemara says, "Mai takante." So what is the Gemara asking him? "Mai takante." Let's see if we can figure it out. I'll read to you the Hebrew translation here. Of my takante, ma takanoso l'isur ze. So, in other words, if everything is hegdesh, if everything is an isur me'ila, how do you avoid violating me'ila? Yelech etzel chacham. You should go to a scholar. So Gemara says yelech etzel chacham. I obviously, how's that going to help him? Right, if he's nenem in Olam Hazeh, it's mal. So, what's the chacham going to help him? Amar Rava Yelech Etzel Chacham Meikara. Meikara means before he eats something. V'yelamdenu bracha. So, chacham is going to teach him what bracha to make. Kidei shelo yovel idei me'ila.
But how can a bracha make a kinyan?
What do you mean by kinyan?
Well, it belongs to Hashem.
Oh, I see. Well, Hashem says the following. We have something called Pidyon Hegdesh, which means that you can remove the status of Hegdesh through Pidyon. Now, if the whole world is Hegdesh, so Hashem has to give me some possibility of being poded to Hegdesh, otherwise I'm going to starve to death. So he gave me the option of being poded through what?
A
broth. That was Hashem's decision. Now, let's put this on the side for a moment, the Gemara, and let's take a look at these pages. Now, I'll be honest with you, I got through the first two pages, and he asks one kasha after the other. I mean, it was just like so many questions. I haven't yet gotten to the answer. So I'm reminded, they say the story, you know the story about the Abarbanel, that his student became an apikoresi, because what happened is the Abarbanel asks about 25 kashas until he gets to the answer. So this Talmud used to fall asleep by the time he got to the 50, 20. So his whole life he had all these kashas. He became a kofer. So he has a whole bunch of kashas. Let's see if anybody wants to, you know, offer to be kind of like a stenographer here. Just to count down the kashas that he has. Alright, we're up to kasha number one. Now kasha number one is based on a Gemara Vayter on Daf Nun Aleph. Let's see if I can maybe I can just find the Gemara here. I'll read to you the Gemara. Here the Gemara is here on Daf Nun Aleph. Let's see if we can find it. Just give me a minute here, if you could bear with me. Okay, right now I'm not finding it. Binyam, you want to do me a favor and see if you can find it, just to save me a minute or two, because our time is...
Okay.
Yeah, you can use it here or wherever you like. Okay. So the Gemara has the following suffix. Listen to this Gemara. Wild. A man ate... Let's call it a meal. I don't know if he ate a whole meal, but anyway, he ate and he didn't make a bracha. So the Gemara wants to know, is it too late to make a bracha? In other words, if he didn't make a bracha before he ate, let him make a bracha after he ate.
He's finished his meal.
He finished eating. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says, I have a brisa, and it's going to give us the answer. a man was tamei, and he jumps into a mikvah, and he makes a bracha after he comes out of the mikvah. So you see that you can make a bracha after you finish.
That's not a proof.
Why not?
Because the mikvah is dafka, you make a bracha afterwards anyway, the chachila.
Correct, but it's true, you know, he couldn't make the bracha before him because he's a gavra lo chazim and he's tame, he can't make the bracha. But you do see that there's a precedent here that the bracha is meaningful even afterwards. Oops.
I'm sorry.
Don't know if it's... So, boy, my name is Rav Chisda, Misha Ochal v'shasav lo birech, Mao sheyachzor v'yivarech. Very interesting. Let him make the bracha. Afterwards, retroactively, if you want to call it that. I mean, he's already got a full belly on it. You know what I mean? It's a little bit weird. He says, this is a question they asked Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda said that he has a proof. What's his proof? From he says, Omar Avina, Afilu, again we're skipping part of the Gemara, but the punchline is Afilu Gomar Sudasayu, he finished his Suda, he can still make a bracha. Tisanya, we learned in a Braisa, Taval Viola, Omar Baliyasa, Rajan and Shekacham, Sosan Allah Tvila. So what's going on over here? This whole enterprise, we just finished saying that what's the basis for a bracha on food, a bracha? It's all because he's a mal, right? He's a moel, behegdesh. So what good is if he makes a bracha afterwards? I mean, on a mitzvah, the mitzvah is not coming to allow him, you know, the bracha is not coming to allow him to do the mitzvah. He wants to thank Hashem for the mitzvah. So if he can't thank Hashem for the mitzvah before he does the mitzvah, he thanks Hashem for the mitzvah after he does the mitzvah. But in the case of Birchas Hanedim, the whole purpose of the bracha is to allow him to eat. He already ate. Again, you want to make a bracha l'achreya, that's something else. You know, you could make a bracha of Birchas Hamazon, you know, saying... But a bracha for now, that doesn't seem to make any sense. So that's question number one. Now we get to question number two. The Gemara says that we have this svara, asul yadam shiyitam klum karim shivarch. He can't eat before. So the Gemara goes on and says, Ashkechan liachrov lefanav minolan holokasha asikal mechomer kshu saveh mevarech kshu roev lo kolshke. If he has to make a bracha when his belly is filled, how much more so when he's hungry and he's about to satiate his hunger pains? He says the following. I'm on the bottom paragraph, if anyone wants to see it, a few lines up before the end of this page. In other words, the Gemara assumes that you have to make a bracha l'achreha, and then the Gemara derives from a kal v'chomer that certainly you have to make a bracha l'faneha. But how did the Gemara know that you have to make a bracha l'achreya? So the Ritva says that the entire thrust of the svara is only for a bracha l'faneha. There's no svara for bracha l'achreya. It means that bracha l'achreya has to come from somewhere else. Right. Could be it's from v'yachalta v'savata v'irachta. So again, the Ritva says that the Gemara's premise was that you certainly have to make a bracha l'achreya. There was no question about it. And the svar is coming to derive from bracha l'achreya that you have to make a bracha l'faneha. Ulam, harashba kosav, debain l'fanov, ubain l'achrov, ta'an bracha mi svara. So again, we have to figure out why the Rashba doesn't want to rely on v'achalta v'savata be'rachta. Maybe he wants to know, what about a case where he didn't eat k'day svia? You know, the Torah is only saying if he gets to svia, but he didn't get to point to svia. I don't know. But whatever it is, let's accept it as axiomatic. According to the Rashba, you have a svara, and that svara is bein lefanov u'bein li'achrov. That's the Rashba. So now we get to question number two on our list. Bishleim lefanov. Here we turn to the next page. Is we understand the svara because this world belongs to God. So you want to be netted from this world, you got to pay up, right? You got to pay the pigeon. What's the pigeon? A bracha. But liacharov. Well, what's the svara? In other words, we say that lefanov is based on the iser. Also liodim lehenos below, right? But well, what's the iser afterward? He already ate. So that's question number two. Now he has another Gemara. Now in this paragraph, Vehine, again, it's not fair to say Vehine because there are like three paragraphs on the same page to start with Vehine, but I mean the first Vehine, he summarizes three cases in which you don't have to make a bracha, three scenarios where you don't have to make a bracha lefaneha. Each one has its own reason. The first one is Paul. Paul and the workers, they're up on the tree, they're working, they're harvesting the crop, they're cutting the apples off the tree, and the Brisa says, brought down a daf tezayin, eim evarach lefaneha. They don't make a bracha lefaneha.
Why?
Because they don't want to take away time from the I mean, it's just my
body. Seconds. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a few seconds, but that's the Gemara. The Gemara says that you're totally meshuvah to the Baal HaBayis. So Rashi says, how does this price do away with a bracha lefaneha? How can you do so? Rashi says, Lufisha Eina Shel Torah. In other words, the whole institution of a bracha lefaneha is the Rabbanon, and the Rabbanon said that a poel doesn't have to make a bracha. So now we're up to question number three. V'tzorech iyun, the afagav di tiru lepoelim, sheinem tzrichim lekayim mitzvahs, but nevertheless, lo itiu lavri surim. We never found that a poel, because of his shibud, his commitment to do the work, is allowed to violate averis. He's allowed to eat nevela. Right? We don't. We're going to alleviate some responsibilities of mitzvahs. And we, let's say he would have to violate an isa drabon. Is he allowed to violate an isa drabon?
No.
No. Even if I grant Rashi's premise, which is itself a little bit tenuous, that the whole svara is only derabanan, but there is an isa derabanan, I'm not allowed to eat without a bracha, it's mal. So how are you going to allow the polim to eat without a bracha? So that's case number one, where you don't have to have a bracha lefana. Now he has case number two. This is an onen. Right, he lost one of his seven close relatives. He hasn't buried him, and the Gemara says on Daf Yud Zayin Amid Beis that Onein Ochel V'Einu Mevarach Lefaneha. He's going to eat without making a bracha lefaneha. Now wait a second. I understand that an Onein is involved in the mitzvah of Kvura and Osik v'mitzvah Potim in a mitzvah, but that's only to potter him up for mitzvahs. But we have no ability to allow an onen to violate an iser. I mean, is an onen allowed to eat nevela? As I said before, he can kill somebody just because he's an onen. You know, he can have a beer with an eshesish because he's an onen. I mean, that's ridiculous. An onen is alleviated from other responsibilities. But now that we're saying that, so how are you going to allow him to violate the iser meila just because he's an onen? Then he has a third case where you don't have to make a bracha lefaneha. And that's called the Baal Keri. So that's a sugya daf chaf amid beis. And there's a Mishnah that says, Baal Keri mevarach li'achrov, ala mozon v'yeinu mevarach lefanov. Let's go with a simple pshat. Again, there are many ways of understanding this, but one way is to say that as far as Birkas HaMozon L'Achreya, that's already Doraisa. The whole Takon of Baal Keri was all a Takon of Ezra, so Takon of Ezra is not going to alleviate him from Bracha L'Achreya. But, you know, he's a Baal Keri, and we don't let him make a Bracha L'Faneo. Tzarech Biur, Eich Mutal Baal Keri Lechel below Bracha, Kisha Asu Lenos Menolam Ezeh below Bracha. basically this paragraph is a threefold repetition. He's asking the same question on three different sugyas. Now that we see that a bracha lefanel is an isur, if you don't make the bracha and you eat your moel, how do we justify that in the case of Paulim, in the case of an onen, in the case of a balkeri, he doesn't make a bracha lefanel? None of these people are allowed to violate isurim. Imagine if there was a piece of hegdesh here. Would you say that a Paul is allowed to eat hegdesh? But without pigeon and dumila or an onen or a balkeri? That's ridiculous. So how many kashas do we have so far?
Three
kashas, that's a lot. Now we're up to the second vihine, and he quotes Rashi. Svarahu, what was the svara that you have to recite a bracha lefanel? Kaman de nene tzarech lahodos lemisha bra'am. Since he's having hanaf in this world, he has to thank the one above who created made it possible by creating this world and this object which he's going to have hanaf from.
So just going back to the previous case where he's not allowed to do it because he's not in a balakai, but there where we say he's not allowed to have relations with an ashish, that's an action. This is
eating is an action. It's meila. Let's say there's hegdesh. Are you going to allow him to eat hegdesh? This is hegdesh. Let's say lamazon, right? I could be magdish of a loaf of bread, and if I eat the loaf of bread, I violate meila. That's an isidor rice. I mean, the punishment is quite severe. I have to bring a carbon.
The thing that he didn't do.
So you're going to allow an onen or balkeri to eat hegdesh?
Yeah, but the thing he didn't do was actually speaking. That was his violation was. Speaking.
Okay, that's true, but you're looking at a piece of hegdesh. So, in the case of real hegdesh, you need pigeon. So you take it and you transfer it over to the moss. In the case of food stuff, you know, that's not hegdesh, it's chulin. Instead of being poda'it, in order to remove the status of me'ila, what you're going to do is you're going to make a bracha. But right now, before he makes the bracha, he's got a status of me'ila. And it's mamish like a case of hegdesh. So if he eats it, he violates, right? Listen to the language of the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Asur liyadam lehenos min olam azeb lo bracha." Call it an isur d'rabbanan. I don't care, but it's asur. I mean, it says it's asur. So let's see. He says that from Rashi, the svara is tzarech lahodos l'Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Now in Birkas Hamazon liachreha, Rashi says later on in Daf Memches. Kishu sovea mitzvah lahodos al sivo. So in other words, Rashi uses the same word lahodos in two different contexts. Number one, in terms of lahodos before he eats something. And there Rashi's saying that he needs a bracha lefanel, and that bracha is a hodah. And then Rashi says sarch lahodos when he's referring to the bracha lachreha. Vitzarech in. Now he's up to question number four. Divrei Gemara Amrinan das svarahu diyasa lehenos menol mazeb lo bracha. The Gemara says that it's me'ila because it's hegdesh. The Gemara doesn't offer a svara that tzarech lahodos lakodesh baruch hu. Vehine b'gemara amrinan kol enenem menol mazeb lo bracha kizu gozel lakodesh baruch hu. So Rashi says, "Gozel laKadosh Baruch Hu's birchaso." You're stealing the bracha from Hashem. Again, that's not the only way of learning the Gemara, but that's how Rashi learns the Gemara. V'tzarech in, da'havi leila Rashi lemeimar shegozel samachol. If the Gemara says that all of the world is hegdesh and you're not allowed to benefit from hegdesh without a bracha. Then Rashi should have said that he's gozel, he's a gazlan on the food. The food that he's eating, he's stealing, because it's hegdesh. Instead, Rashi, you know, does somersaults here. He says, no, he's stealing the bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, so the food belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu until he makes a bracha. He's stealing from God's food. So he has to make a bracha because he's stealing. Otherwise, he's stealing God's food. Why do you have to say, why Rashi has to get into this whole complicated svara that he's stealing the bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what question was that? This number four, five, I don't know.
Four.
Four, number four. Now at this point, this is as far as I got. You know, my brain was like, I was, what do they call it when you put too much electricity? Overload? It was overload. I was already overloaded. Vanira muchach mizeh, And we're on the top left now. Sheyesh svara shechayev lahodos. The kevin shechal of chiyuv bracha lahodos, right? Chal of isur lecho below bracha. See, you hear what he's saying? How do you classify birkas hanenin? Is it a losaseh? Because if you don't make the bracha, you violate me'ila gzela. Or is it an essay? And the essay creates the isur. What do I mean? The essay creates the isur. He has a chovas bracha. If he doesn't recite the bracha, then he violates an isur. So Rashi has a whole new approach to this Gemara. We thought the Gemara is saying straight away that if he eats something without a bracha, he violates an isur. No, Rashi is saying he has a chiv lahodos, and if he doesn't fulfill his chiv lahodos, then he steals it.
So is it positive or is it uplifting the negative?
It's the non fulfillment of a positive generates a negative. In I would formulate it in Hebrew. I would say e kiyum chovaso mahava isur. So it's because he didn't fulfill his obligation, therefore he's violating an isur. Ubishim hachi kasa Rashi svarahu shitzarch laodos hakadosh baruch hu lemisha bra'am. He has to thank Hashem because Hashem created this. Ratzaloma de ikra din, or I could say ikra machayev, hu chiyuv lahodos Hashem al achilos, or kamo perkasamos liachro. Elo what? Im eno mevarech, hareze gozel, and what is he stealing? He's not stealing the object, but rather he's stealing the bracha. Because he owes a hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so you're denying HaKadosh Baruch Hu that hodah. So if you don't acknowledge that God gave you this hanor, you're stealing God, from God that brach, that is acknowledgement. And again, the isur is because he's stealing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's bracha. Let me ask you a question. How would you define food? Maybe that's not a valid question. I was thinking, how would you define food without a bracha? Is it a chefta di surah? It's like nevela? No. That's not what it is. The food itself is machayev hodah. And the gzela here is that if you eat the food, you're stealing the bracha.
How are you stealing the bracha? The bracha doesn't exist. You're not taking away anything that existed in this world already. You're taking away the food that exists.
I'll give you an example. If, let's say, I have a worker, are you familiar with Achilles Pol B'Kermiyahu? It's a parsha in Kititze. I have to let him eat while he's working, correct? It's like Lo Sasam Shabbadisha, right? If I deny him the food, then I'm stealing that schus, that right that he has to eat the food. In other words, once he's working in my field, he gets rights, monetary rights, to eat from my field. If I don't let him eat from my field, I'm taking away his rights. Again, I didn't take anything away from him. I'm just, you know, tying him up in such a way that he can't take away my food, right? My take the grapes off the vine and eat it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu now has rights. He has a claim to our bracha. And you're denying that bracha. The bracha is like an entity. You know, it's like a physical material object. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has rights to that object. And now you're denying HaKadosh Baruch Hu access to that object. That's called gzela. V'zel mashakosav Rashi shegozel HaKadosh es perchosav etzalom shemachmas shechal of chiyuv bracha. So God, it's coming to God, your bracha. Who gozel HaKadosh Baruch Hu es perchosav. And therefore he's not allowed to have hano without bracha, because if he has hano without bracha, he's basically stealing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's bracha. V'hine lahalon v'yomid beiz om Rabbi Yehuda v'shmur v'chan v'yud shemen zayis. I don't know what he wants from shemen zayis. All of a sudden we're talking about shemen zayis. Mevarchen olav borei priya eitz. If he's drinking olive oil, so azuki mazikle, he's harming himself. So Rashi says legufe, he's harming his body. This is not called an achila to generate a chiyuv bracha, because this achila is an achila hamazika.
Oh, so we don't make brachas of junk food.
On what food?
On junk food. We don't make brachot.
Junk food. Very, very good. Excellent. Excellent cash. I don't know. You have a good cash. I don't know the answer to that cash. But let's say, you know, there might be some redeeming value. I don't know. Maybe it has a couple of calories that'll give you energy. Tegavi bracha v'achal toksiv. So Rashi says that with regard to bracha, we find the word v'achalta. V'tzarech iyu. I don't understand Rashi, so this can be question number 5. The hachkra de v'achalta, right? That's a bracha lachrea, but we want to know about a bracha rishona, a bracha lefanel. There it doesn't say v'achalta. So how does Rashi know that a mazik, if you eat something that's a mazik, that's not called achila? Therefore, you're not chayiv in a bracha. He's going to say because it says v'achalta, but it says v'achalta as far as bracha lachrea. Ubal korcha. The sphere of Rashi, the ikar chiv shel birchas hanenim, lo avi mishum sheish iser b'fnei atzmo lehenos b'li bracha, the way we understood it, ki im she ikar dino shechayev levarech birchas hoda kibo b'birchas hamozen lachreo. And when we say it's ma'al b'li bracha, then what we mean to say is that since we have a chiv bracha, is then he's stealing the bracha from HaKadosh Baruch mitoch kach who goes el, he adds here another point. I'm not sure if this is a big deal, but he's saying umitoch kach who goes el gam es ha'anor. I don't know why, so all of a sudden he throws this in like through the back door. I don't know where he got that from, but anyway, ulefi zeh shaper kosav Rashi dekmodeh bebracha achrona ksiv v'achalta, k'mo chei b'bracha rishona, which is basically the same machayev of hodah, is be'inan v'achalta. We require v'achalta. Lafuke, to exclude the case of mazik when he drinks shemen zayis. So basically he's saying that achila requires a bracha, and if you benefit from this world without a bracha, you're stealing a bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says you're also stealing the hana. I don't know why he throws that in. Now, I'm not sure if we've answered any of the other kashas. Let's just think. I know it. Oh, now I see where he's going with this. Mm-hmm. Remember this paragraph of Hine? Mm-hmm. At the beginning of the page, he had 3 scenarios in which they allowed him to eat without a bracha. The answer is, once they alleviate him of the chovas bracha, his mevil is no iser. Beautiful, right? You hear what he said? I think this is where he's going. I'm trying to just anticipate. How can you allow an onen, a balkeri, a poel to eat without a bracha and violate isurim? I mean, we can't allow people to violate isurim. But the answer is that this is not a regular iser. This iser is a result of a chiyuv, the chiyuv bracha. Lahodos Lashem. Well, these people are not chayiv in that chiyuv hodah. Let's say, for example, an onen is too busy with kvura, so he's also mitzvah patur mitzvah. Or, for example, the poel is too busy b'melechas balavayis, so he's patur mit a mitzvah. Once he's patur from the mitzvah, there's no iser, because the iser is a result of stealing the bracha.
Yeah,
according to this Swara, but what is
I'm wondering if in any of the other caches
yes. What is the Gzeva according to this Swara? Because we talked about three the food, the bracha, or the hana'ah at the end. Which Gzeva is this that they don't violate?
Well, let's talk about Gzeva's habracha for me, because I told you, Binyamin, I'm very confused why. He slipped in somewhere. You know, he slipped in this thing here. I don't know why that he's stealing that. No, I don't know why. I'm a little confused. I would put that those words at the brackets. Maybe he was a little tired that night when he wrote that. I don't know. But fundamentally saying, Rashi says he steals the bracha. You steal the bracha because you have a chiyuv bracha. It's coming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, God has a demand, like the schus of the poel that I mentioned before. And now you're preventing God from getting his bracha. But that's only because you have a chiyuv bracha. If you didn't have a chiyuv bracha, then you're not stealing the bracha.
I think, I just wondered, this thing about stealing the bracha, it's not that God is doing a little business deal with you, that he's giving you food in exchange for bracha. The food he's quite happy for you to have. But he's made it as a separate thing. He wants you to make a bracha before you eat the food. So if you don't make the bracha, you're stealing the bracha. But the food itself, God's giving you anyway. It's not.
The food is?
The food is something God, Hashem has provided for us anyway.
Right.
For everyone.
With or without a bracha?
It's given to the whole world. The food is,
but I'm saying even without a bracha?
Yeah, but he's not doing a business deal. He's not saying, okay, in order to get the food, you have to pay me by giving me a bracha.
I'm not sure, Yonatan, what question are you answering now?
The question I'm asking is why are we using the language of stealing the bracha, not stealing the food?
Yeah.
Because he's not stealing the food, Hashem's giving us the food.
Oh, okay.
Right? As a separate thing, he wants us to make a bracha before we eat the food. But it's not okay. Contingent on us having the food.
Okay, I don't know. I'm just saying, somewhere in the middle, he says, also lehenos.
He says, you're stealing the hana'ah as well, because he's saying, you're not stealing the food, Hashem will give you the food. But you also, the benefit you are stealing because...
Oh, so not the food, but the benefit from the food.
Right, because Hashem's not... Okay.
So what I want to do with you now, Yonatan, is I want to go back to his first couple of questions, and let's see, I'm curious to know if we can now answer the questions, right? So the first question was that there's a possibility of making the bracha after he eats, right? The Gemara says, like just like in tefillah and mikvah. So wait a minute, if the whole purpose of the bracha is to be matir and you already ate it, so you can't be matir that which you ate, so what's the point of making bracha afterwards? I'll tell you. There's a chiyuv hodah. Now that chiyuv hodah, in the ideal sense, should be fulfilled before he gets the hana. But the Gemara wants to suggest that as a fallback position, in event that he didn't fulfill his chiyuv hodah before the achila, let him fulfill his chiyuv hodah after the achila. Next, he had a kasha that the Gemara, according to the Rashba, says that Bein Lefana, Bein Leakrav, Ton Bracha Misvara. So we asked, what's the svara mean? When he's Savea, you don't have the same svara. The svara was that if he's about to eat, he's taking from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. That was the svara. But afterwards, he already ate. The answer is that both the Bracha Lefana and the Bracha Lachrea, both are fundamentally rooted in the Chiyuv Hodah. You have a Chiyuv Hodah to thank Hashem for what He created so that you could eat. You have a chiyuv hodah for thanking God for creating what you already ate. Because now you're in a state of svia. So I'm beginning to see that the cloud is rising up to Shammai. We're getting a little bit of clarity here. Shall you follow this? I'm going too fast? Again, we have two different approaches to Birchas Hanenin. Right before you eat something. One approach is to say that this is Hegdesh because Hashem Aretzim Eloah and there's an Iser to eat it. Therefore the whole nature of the bracha is to be mat to the Iser. And the Gevuras Yitzchak proves from many different places that that can't be true. The other alternative is to say, no, it's not that it's also for you to eat the food because it's Me'ilah. What it means is that you're a gazlan. You're stealing something from HaKadosh Baruch. Whenever you steal from HaKadosh Baruch, that's called Me'ilah. What are you stealing from HaKadosh Baruch? So Rashi says that he's stealing the bracha. A whole different approach than any kind of an Issa that you find there as a result of the fact that he didn't fulfill his Chiyuv Hodah. He has a chiyuv to be moda takonish baruch. We didn't fulfill that. God is waiting for his bracha, and he's denying God the bracha that's coming to God. That's called gzeila. He's mevela when we say it's also lehenos. That's because he hasn't fulfilled his chiyuv hodah. And then afkamina is going to be that if we take the first approach, we have no clue how we can be matir eating without a bracha in cases X, Y, and Z. But if we go with the second approach, that the Isra Hanah is only a result of the fact that he's stealing Hashem's bracha, he has a chiv hodah, so in those scenarios where he has no chiv hodah, mevela there's no Isra. And now we begin to see how bracha lefaneh and bracha lachreh are really two sides of the same coin, literally. Why? Because you're thanking God for His universe, the world that He created for you, in two ways. First, to satiate your ravon, and secondly, on the fact that you now filled your belly up with His world. And in both cases, it has a chiyuv hodah. So the Rashba is right for saying that both the lefaneh and liachreh are one svara. And finally, we can now begin to understand this whole strange business of making a bracha after you ate. On what you ate. And the answer is because there's an entity out there in the universe called the Chiyuv Hodah, and in an ideal sense, the Chiyuv Hodah should be fulfilled when?
Prior
to his eating, excellent. But if he didn't, the Gemara says you can have a Chiyuv Hodah afterwards, like in a mitzvah. You thank Hashem for giving you the opportunity of a mitzvah. So you should do that before you do the mitzvah, before you engage. But if you didn't, so make the bracha after the mitzvah, to thank Hashem for the mitzvah. Ideally, you should have made the bracha beforehand, but if you can't, you can't, and you make the bracha afterwards. The same thing in the... Yeah, the only thing is, I tell you what bothers me now. You have the chiyuv hodah here. Yeah, but you have to... I have a kasha in the teretz, you know, as I'm thinking. The chiyuv hodah, according to the Rashba, is the same svara for both lefaneh lachreh, because you're benefiting from God's world. So it's very strange. He didn't make the bracha lefaneh. Right, so let's say he eats bread. So he didn't say Amotzi Lechem in Aretz. So after he finishes eating his meal, he's going to recite two brachas. Yeah. He's going to recite Amotzi Lechem in Aretz, and he's going to recite Birkas Hamazon. I mean, it's very strange because if both are Chiyuv Hodah, in a sense, he's fulfilling the same one single entity of Hodah. Do you follow what I mean? Because the Hodah is for the Achila, and he already ate the Achila. So you can't say that he's thanked. I think the answer is that one hodah is on the re'avon. Do you follow? In other words, that God healed me from my hunger pains.
I almost see that.
And the other is on the positive experience of satiation. Mm. So therefore, you can make both brachas together at the same time, one after the other.
Why wouldn't you have to make them both brachas afterwards anyway, if that's the case?
Well, no, if you're making a bracha for the Ravon, so you have to say to Hashem, thank you for giving me the opportunity. It's like, for example, I go to see a physician, right? So I say to the physician, thanks for seeing me. You know, I'm very happy that he's willing to even deal with my case. So I have to thank him in advance. Then after I leave, and I feel great, you know, I don't know what he did for me, so I feel great, so I thank him for healing me.
So I told him, can you thank him? You can
think, I don't know, that's a good question. Maybe you have to do it within a certain time period.
Built up an account. But there seems to be a difference between the bracha and the bracha lefnei and the bracha acharei. The one before, the bracha lefnei is more acknowledgement. You say, borei pri agafen, and he created that. The other one, we do berachat tamazon or borei nefesh, we're actually saying thank you. So, I mean, that's the difference between the two. The first bracha isn't... He brings bread out there. We're not saying thank you very much for the bread you brought.
Right, but I would say the act, you know, when you acknowledge Hashem that you gave me this and now I have the opportunity to eat this, that acknowledgement is really a hodah, Rashi saying. I'm thanking Hashem by acknowledging that. What do you say?
There's more of an emphasis on the bracha acharonah.
Acharonah is actually saying thank you. The one before saying, right. I acknowledge this from you. Then the after is thank you very much for giving it to me.
Okay, but I'm asking, when I acknowledge something, let's say, you know, my wife prepares a meal for me. So what does it mean I acknowledge that she did all the work to prepare the meal? She bought the thing.
So
is that not some sort of hodah?
Well, the first bracha will be, thank you for buying it, and the second one will be, thank you for making it, I guess.
Yeah, okay, so now we have a whole bunch of brachas. Joel, you get me in deep trouble because now I have to thank my wife for a lot of different things. I was hoping to just get away with one thanks, you know. So have to thank her for shopping, and I have to thank her for carrying the stuff. I have to thank her for peeling the potatoes, and then I have to thank her for feeding me the meal and for getting me ketchup, because I love ketchup.
But that's the exact same thing here. You're thanking Hashem for the fruit of primitive, just acknowledging that, like the buying, the doing, but the actual.
Right, but no. See, the difference between me and Yonatan. Yonatan, if I understand you correctly, you're saying it's like almost. A mitzvah of emunah, right? I have to acknowledge that God is the master of the universe, and there's one God and not more than one God. You know, that's all mitzvah emunah. So acknowledgement means when I right. Let's say, for example, this Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. I acknowledge that God is the King. I'm saying it a little differently. I'm saying that it's not just that I have this emunah that I believe that I acknowledge the fact, you know, that God created this, but I'm thanking Hashem because now I have the opportunity of healing myself from these hunger pains. You know, I'm starving. You know, I think Joel's right that if I'm really the bracha should be commensurate to how hungry I am. You know, some people like to eat when they're full. So that I think would require less of a bracha. You know?
I think it's more simple. If I'm in your home and I say to you, may I take one of your apples? So that's the bracha from there. And then after I've eaten the apple, I say thank you very much for the apple. The first
time I'm acknowledging
is your apple.
And can I so that's the difference. My approach is that I have to thank you for the apple so that now I can eat the apple.
But you don't usually.
Thank you for providing me with an apple.
But we don't. We usually say, please can I have it. He gives it, you eat it, you say thank you very much. That's
okay, but I'm just saying, I think it's, even in Beinon Lechaver, I don't think it's enough just to acknowledge that you did this for me, you provided this for me, you gave me an apple to eat. I have to thank you for giving me this.
Yeah, that's the two brachot.
Okay, good. No, but I'm just saying, I think Rashi's choice of the word hodah to explain the brachot lefanel, I think is a very appropriate choice. Okay, now let's look at the Rambam. You know, we can't learn Gevuras Yitzchak without looking at the Rambam. So the Rambam opens up Hilchos Brachos and he says, "Midibrei Sofrim." So again, the Rambam is committed to the fact that Birchas Hanenim is only Midibrei Sofrim, whatever that means, but it's not regular Doraisa. Levarech al kol machol tchila, v'acher kach yehena mimenu. I mean, this is not Rashi, I don't think. The Rambam is saying that, you know, you have to recite the bracha, and then you can be nene. You know, that's how I read it. V'afilin is kavin lecho lishtos kol shehu, right? So, because we don't need the kizayis, is mevarech v'achakach yehena. You know, it's, the Rambam is telling you that any hano whatsoever, even if it's a kol shehu, is enough to generate a chiyuv bracha. V'kol anene b'lo bracha ma. Is nira me'arambam she'ikar chiyuv birchas hanenim hu birchas hodah. Oh, he wants to say that the Rambam belongs to the camp of Rashi. Kamo birchas hamazon. Rakshagam iser lech. Oh. Rakshagam osu lecha b'lo bracha. So I don't mean, but is he disagreeing with Rashi? No. Hayim k'moshe kosav kasavlu b'divrei Rashi. The ikar adinu tzitzarch lahodos hakadosh baruch hu u'machmas hachova chovas habracha chalav isur leheres below. I don't know, what is he medayik? What should have the Rambam said if he meant something else? I don't know what his proof is. The Rambam says mitzvah divrei sofrim. I understood that he's saying that the only way you could be nene is if you make the bracha. That might be a matir, you know, to remove the iser of, I don't know, he's saying it differently. And now he has a parenthesis here with the marsha. So I don't know, this is already more philosophical. Let's leave out the marsha for a minute. Ulafia mavuar de ikar adin shal birchas hanenim lo avi mater al isu ki im chiv bracha birchas shevach v'odol lakadosh baruch hu osi shapir nami divrei rashba that bein liachar bein lefanav ton bracha bisfar de afagav de liachar of lekedin isu shekvar ochal bikomakom kevon sheikar achiv shal birchas hanenim misvarahu birchas odol is therefore mali lefanav mali lachreha is both of them require a hodah. And now he introduces the Pnei Yoshua. Pnei Yoshua kosem the chiyuv birchas anenim misvor avido raisa. I don't know. The first one on the face of the earth to say that Birchas HaNenim is Doraisa is the Pnei Yoshua. The Pnei Yoshua lived about 2.5 centuries ago, 3 centuries ago. I don't know why. It's hard for me to believe that for all of posterity, no one said that till the Pnei Yoshua discovered America that there's a Chiyuv Bracha Doraisa. The Alpizeh Hiksha. Oh, so what's the Pnei Yoshua's Kasha? My Taima the Balkarianim of Varach Lefano. If Chiyuv Avarach Mea Torah, Ve'ine Rashi Daf Chof Kosav She'eno Mevarach Lefono Mipnei To Lo Avido Rai. So right, that was the Rashi we saw before. Then the case of Balkeri, the Rabbanon alleviated him from a brach because the whole Chiyuv brach is only the Rabbanon. Aval Lefi Dvarav, according to the Pnei Yoshua, the Avido Rai, so is Havi Leila Tiro Levorech Lefaneha. I think there's some sort of mistake here. It shouldn't say Havi Leila Tiro. Should. So in second, Havi Leila Tiro Levorech Lefaneha. It should say something like Hechi Tiro Levorech. But I don't know what he means, Havi. Oh, Vetire, so as the Pnei Yeshua answered, everybody knows the answer, correct? He came on Shemavarech Mioli Akrov Einunene Minolam Azeblo Brocha. So even though the Brocha Lefaneo is Doraisa, but the Pnei Yeshua says he can cover his Chiyuv Doraisa even if he makes the Brocha Lachreo. So he's going to make a Brocha Lachreo, and he fulfills his Chiyuv Doraisa on the Brocha Lefaneo. Vitzarch Beer. I don't understand. Ma Moil Mashavarech Li Akrov. Oh, the answer is that the Chiyuv Brach of Birchas HaNenim is a Chiyuv Hodah Lashem. And now he said that that Chiyuv Hodah in a fallback position could be fulfilled by Achar HaAchila. It's therefore B'dieved, if he thanks Hashem with Hodah and his Achila Lachrela, alright, he didn't do it the ideal way of being Modet HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lefaneo, but nevertheless it's considered a Hodah on this eating, on this food. Bekiem Iker Chiyuv Lahodos Alamacho. The after Lachatchil Tzoch Lahodos Bein Lefaneh Bein Lachreah. But the Eved Kol Shahod Lachreah Kiem Iker Chiyuv Lahodos Umemela Nifka Al Yedei Zeh Yisar Hano Min Olam Azeh Belo Bracha. So this is a fantastic Pnei Yoshua. He wants to say that the Bracha Lefaneh is Doraisa, and yet, paradoxically, in the case of a Balkeri, he's not going to be making that bracha, and we're going to alleviate him from a mitzvah Doraisa. He'll make Birkas Hamazon Lachreah. But what's going on over here? How can we say that he's not makayim the mitzvah Doraisa just because of the Takanas Ezra of a Balkeri? Bishlei Rashi holds the reason why he's allowed to make the eat without a bracha lefaneh because the whole institution of bracha lefaneh is the Rabbanon. So hey mamru behey mamru. But if you're holding like the Pnei Yoshua, that the Bracha Lefaneh is Doraisa, so how could they allow him? And the answer is because he has no Chiyuv Bracha. And once they alleviated him from a Chiyuv Bracha, b'meila there's no Isur. But just one second, the Chiyuv Bracha is Doraisa. So how are they able to be Matir? How are they able to allow him? Well, I should say the other way around. How are they able to remove his Chiyuv Bracha? He's saying that in this case of Balkeri, he doesn't have a Chiyuv Bracha. Just one second. Mekiyem Iker Chiyuv Alo. We were saying that that in all these cases with, let's say, Onen, or Paul, that there's no Issa because there's no Chiyuv Bracha. Correct? Mm-hmm. But now we're saying the Chiyuv Bracha is Doraisa according to the Pnei Yoshua. So how are we saying that in these cases there's no Chiyuv Bracha? I mean, Onen, maybe, I don't know, Onen is already Osik Vitzapotamit, so that's fine. But what about the Paul? Are we saying that the Paul are not Chayev to be Mavarech? Because they get this?
What is it when we say about the Shema, that we said something that's dangerous, no? Maybe if it's dangerous, they should not make a bracha. If you're up in the tree.
You mean if he's not, if he's involved in the bracha, he won't be able to be careful about falling off the tree. I don't know. I usually understand that if he has to worry about falling, that's why he can't concentrate on his bracha.
But that's not right, because if he can be sitting, he makes the bracha. But that's why they can't say the Shema.
Again, you know, we're reinterpreting the Pnei Yoshua. The Pnei Yoshua is saying that the bracha lefanez doraisa, but that's not exactly what he means. What he means is that the achila generates achiv hodah. The best way of doing that and fulfilling that is lefanel. But if you fulfill a lachreha, then that's also a kiyum. That's what he says, that since he's going to make a bracha le'achrov. So he writes, Eino, we're talking about a Baal Keri, correct? So you make the bracha le'achrov, right? So how does that fulfill his doraisa of lefanav? So we're going to have to say that this. You remember, like we said before, there's a chiyuv hodah bein lefanav bein le'achrov. That's how we explain the Rashba. So there's one entity of so to speak sandwiching the sandwich between two hodahs. But here he's saying that the mitzvah d'oraisa of bracha lefaneh can be fulfilled through the bracha lachreo. Is he killing two birds with one stone? How does this work? Tarpiya maimo el mashem bracha liachrov. Is the ika achiyuv? Is birchas anenim not midin isur but midin chiyuv lahodos lashem? Okay, that we've said. So the Easter is a result of the fact that he has a chiv lodus lashem. Oh, is shapir yesh lomar. Let's see what he's saying here. Dividi eved kol shem modal achiloso li achreo af shalom hodu lefaneo choshim shahodal amachol v'kiev ikar chiv. I think he means minat Torah lohodus al amachol. So b'di'evet, the bracha, the hodah li'achrov is going to serve as a kiyum of his chiyuv hodah. Just one second, there's something bothering my mind here, but I'm not sure what it is. So that according to Bnei Yeshua, again, in all those cases where he doesn't make a bracha lefaneh, they alleviated his chiyuv bracha. Now, how did the Rabbanon? That's what bothers me. Do you gentlemen have clarity on this? How could the Rabbanon alleviate a person from a chiyuv doraisa? If birchas hanedim is doraisa, according to Pnei Yeshua, how can you tell me he's a poel? He's a bal keri. He's what was the third case? He's an onen, therefore he's alleviated from his chiyuv bracha. I mean, the chiyuv bracha is doraisa. Again, onen doesn't bother me because onen is potter min mitzvahs. So, but a poel is chayiv in mitzvahs. So the rabbanon is going to say, well, he's potter min mitzvahs. But you're talking about a mitzvah doraisa.
But don't they answer that in this exceptional case he can still fulfill it afterwards?
No.
Well, that's not what he said. They can still fulfill it.
Well, I don't know. The case of fulfilling an achrov, is that the case of a poel? Let's just see. My time of Balkeri, ain't of work lefanov. So he's going to say this by a Balkeri. So you might as well apply it to a poel as well. Because I was going to give another answer. I was going to suggest that maybe in the case of a poel, the Torah itself recognizes that he's too busy as a poel, and he's absolutely committed to the work of his Baal Bayis to now take a break and make the bracha. So the Chovas bracha on a Doraisa level was suspended. That for sure could be the case of an Onen. Right? And what? So we have Poel, Onin, and then
Balkeri.
Balkeri is the real problem, because that's the whole entity of enjoining a Balkeri from making a bracha is all Takanas Ezra. So how could Ezra be mitakin that he shouldn't fulfill the Sri of Doraisa? That's where he introduces that the bracha lachrea is enough to fulfill his base, because he made a bracha on the achil, and that's enough. You see, without the Pnei Yoshua, I would have said Einochinami, maybe bracha lefanez doraisa, but not because of a chovas hodah, but because of the isul lehenos min olam hazeh. And if that be the case, we have the question: how can we be matir in isur for the sake of a balkeri or a poel or an onin? Do you follow the question? I mean, that's really the crux of the matter, if you ask me.
Could it be that you're supposed to be in a certain frame of mind in order to do the mitzvah? It's not that it's being matir. He's saying you can't because you're not able to. An onin or a poel, or I suppose balkeri as well, is just simply not in the frame of mind to fulfill the mitzvah.
Oh, so it's me din onis.
Yeah.
Ah, that's interesting. That's a brilliant idea. Let me just digest that. So let's say in the case of a I don't know how you get Balkeri's tahan.
Maybe he's not in the right mind, frame of mind.
I don't know. That's a good question. Yeah, I hear what you say. But let's take the easy cases. Let's take the case of an one. Fine. Yeah. Oh, he's honest, maybe. Right. He's honest.
It can happen. The tree is working for someone. He's not able to.
Just 1 second. Well, no, you see, you might be right in the case of Onin, I don't know, but I don't think you have to say that. That's a chiddush that's not necessary. I'll tell you why. Because it only is potter from all of it, so he's potter from the chiyuv bracha as well.
Okay.
Oh, you're asking if we hold that there's an isur.
You're saying
how? Oh, if it's an isur, how can we matter an isur for an Onin? So what are you answering,
Dad? He's not being matter, but physically he's not able to. He's not capable. He's not capable. So it's not that he's got an exemption. He physically can't do it. So he can't do it. And then we say, okay, we recognize you can't do it, and we're not. If he was in hospital with broken limbs, he'd also be able to keep certain limbs.
But wait a second. Let me ask you a question. An Onin, let's say, is so preoccupied that he can't pay you for your object. So you're going to allow him to steal the object because it's already time for Myra?
Yeah. Oh.
Well, what time is it? We just started.
Yes.
As far as I'm concerned, we started 2 minutes ago.
We need you for a minute.
Oh, I see. All of us? How many do you have?
No, we need
you have.
We need two, otherwise you can carry on.
Okay, and so who wants to volunteer for my
room?
You should know, Rabbi, I didn't believe that they would not get because of Myrick, because we just started the shir. No, it went so fast. It was like unbelievable.
Do we have an exemption for Myrick?
We just got one.
That's a good question.
The 10 is
full anyway.
Thank you.